नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम ऑफ वेदव्यास Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 9, Text 2, sorry, Canto 9, Chapter 2, Texts 10 to 14. And we'll recite the Sanskrit for text 14 only. Evam
Evam
Vritaha
Vritaha
Vanam
Vanam
Gatva
Gatva
Drishtava
Drishtava
Dava
Dava
Agnim
Agnim
Uthitam
Uthitam
Tena
Tena
Upayukta
Upayukta
Karanaha
Karanaha
Brahma
Brahma
Prapa
Prapa
Param
Param
Munihi
Munihi
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Brahma prapa param munihi
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Brahma prapa param munihi
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Evam
vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi
Any ladies, devis?
Evam vrito vanam gatva
Drishtva davagnim uthitam
Teno payukta karano
Brahma prapa param munihi Evam
vritaha,
being situated in such an order of life.
Vanam,
to the forest.
Gatva,
after going.
Drishtva,
when he saw.
Dava,
agnim, a forest. Fire.
Uthitam.
Existing there.
Tena.
By that.
Fire.
Upayukta.
Upayukta.
Karanaha.
Karanaha.
engaging all the senses of the body by burning. Brahma, transcendence.
Prapa,
he achieved. Param, the ultimate goal. Munihi, as a great saintly person. First, I'll read the translation of verses 10 to 13. When the hero Prishadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Then, having controlled his senses, he took the vow of brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages. Thereafter, Prishadra gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over all his senses. Being unaffected by material conditions, being pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord to maintain body and soul together, and being equal toward everyone, he gave full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is the transcendental supersoul free from material contamination. Thus, Prishadra, fully satisfied in pure knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities, as if he were deaf, dumb, and blind. Then, text 14 translation. With this attitude, Prashadra became a great saint, and when he entered the forest and saw a blazing forest fire, he took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Thus he achieved the transcendental spiritual world. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tat Pataha Tyagva Dehaṁ Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Surjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Prishadra, because of his karma, was cursed to take his next birth as a Shudra. But because he took to saintly life, specifically concentrating his mind always upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a pure devotee. Immediately after giving up his body in the fire, he reached the spiritual world, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mameti, as a result of his devotional situation. Devotional service performed by thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that although Prashadra was cursed, he avoided the terrible consequence of becoming a Shudra and instead returned home back to Godhead. As stated in Brahma Sanghita, Yastvindra Gopam Atavindra Maho Swakarama Bandhana Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti Karamani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindamadipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Those who engage in devotional service are unaffected by the results of their material activities. Otherwise, everyone from the smallest microbe up to the king of heaven, Indra, is subject to the laws of karma. A pure devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, is exempt from these laws. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav pada kamalam shri gurun vaishnavanscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashaka Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare In this narration, this brief narration in Bhagavatam, there are two persons named, namely Prashadra and Vashishtha, among whom the guru Vashishtha is much better known than Prashadra. He's one of the very biggest sages who we'll find again and again mentioned in the Puranas, Veda, I believe so. I have to check that. Ramayana. And he's up there in the sky. You can see him, along with his wife, who is called, his wife's more famous than his, Arundhati. Arundhati is just, she stays with him, even though he seems to have a very angry nature. He's always cursing, he's fighting with Vishvamitra. Not on the same level as Durvasa, but can get quite angry. Nevertheless, he is a great personality, and yet his wife is better known, at least the name is still commonly given, fairly common, to young girls. Well, baby girls, to be precise. But Vashishtha, I don't know anyone being that name. But he's a great personality, no doubt. But Vishnuacharya Thakur has said in his cursing Prashadra, Vishnuacharya Thakur says that Vashishtha was Durmati, of bad intelligence, in this particular instance. Vishnuacharya can say that. I wouldn't say it. And we have to be careful, you know, you get cursed too. It's definitely not a good idea to think badly of such great personalities. But Prashadra, he's not very famous, at least not on this planet at the present time. In the heavenly planets, the demigods, they're reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in between their parties, of drinking soma rasa and all this kind of thing. Well, there are the munis up above the heavenly planets, and the best of them, they discuss Bhagavatam, and they're not like us. We read it seven times and still we can't remember the names. They get it. They get the point. They can understand. But at least in this world at this time, although Vashishtha would have been famous a little previously, before the present age, he would have been a household name among all Hindus. I think in the Brahmin rites they must mention his name. Is it smarter? I think so. Do you know? You don't know about the smarter rites. Not much. But Prashadra, he was better because he took the opportunity to go back to Godhead. Even he was cursed, we don't find him retaliating or trying to get free from it. He took the opportunity to retire from his present way of life and become Krishna conscious. He didn't reject his guru either. He didn't say you're no good or anything like that. He accepted the curse, but he transcended the curse because he transcended all of material existence by going back to Godhead. So that's a good way to get free from curses and go back to Godhead. Then the curse won. Of course, we don't get cursed much nowadays. I mean, people tell us bad things, but actual cursing. People approach sadhus for blessings, but they don't think that they can give, if they can give blessings, they can give curses also. And we find both in the Vedic literature. There's plenty of blessing and plenty of cursing going on. Either way, the munis use up their stock of accumulated shakti. It must be pretty tough living with it. They're just like Arundhati's living with Vashishtha. He gets angry very quickly. Maybe he has a different relationship with his wife. But she stays close to him anyway. You can see up in the sky, Vashishtha and Arundhati. She always stays close. Two stars in the night sky. And of course the idiots who think they're very learned will say, well, that's, you're just saying that. They'll give some other name. They'll give some scientific name. Even if they went there, they wouldn't see Vashishtha. Why should he show himself to people who are so puffed up? So Prishadra, he did it. He did it. What the rishis and the munis, their ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of everyone is Krishna. And especially the rishis and munis, they're engaged in spiritual life. But Prishadra, in one life, he got complete success and went back to Godhead. What the munis, munipungavanam, the best of the munis, they may not attain. How does that verse begin? Sopyasti yat prabhatisinya vinchintitatve. What's the Pantastu koti shata vatsara sambragamyo vayurata pimanaso munipungavanam. Sopyasti yat prabhatisinya vinchintitatve. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The best of the munis. That doesn't mean that. It means all the munis except those who are in the category of Narad Muni, who are devotees. But others who are trying by other methods than devotional service, very best of the munis, even though they are controlling their mind, directing their mind toward the spiritual, they can hardly approach the tip of the toes of the lotus feet of Govinda. Because he is avichintya tattva. He is the very understanding of him is beyond the capability of even the best and most purified mind. Those who, the rishis and munis, they try to purify their mind and concentrate on the Supreme. They're trying to understand the topmost reality, transcendence. And that's where they go wrong. In the very approach, in the very beginning, they can't understand because they want to do it by their own brain power. And therefore they cannot understand. But these munis, yes, Vashishtha, and he's the family guru of Rama. And so... even here it's seen he's not as devotional at this point as his disciple, but these rishis and munis we'll find also when Krishna is traveling. It's mentioned several times in Bhagavatam. He'll go here and there when he goes to visit the Pandavas, when he goes to Mithila to visit the king whose name is Janaka. Well, no. yes, it's true, Janaka is the king of Mithila, but this one in particular, it's mentioned as Bahulashva. And he goes all the way to there to visit Bahulashva and Shrutadev. So, and he brings so many rishis and munis with him. So he takes them. And you'll find the names of the rishis given, and the general description of them is being, well, rishis and munis. They're not particularly counted among the devotional ones, but Krishna has them along with him, or they may like to accompany him, because they are great personalities and they do recognize that Krishna is great and Krishna wants to show respect to them. Brahmana means not just a pure Vaishnava. That's the best Brahmana. But a Brahmana means one, what is that? Brahmajanati Brahmana. One who knows Brahma, or is at least on that path. The Brahmana, they live a very pure life, and their consciousness is in a different sphere to people who are thickly involved with this world. So we see, even up to the present time, and even here in South India, even though the Brahmanas, they don't follow much, but some of them follow something still. And if they follow some things, they think it's a lot because it's more than what other people do. But it's not much compared to their, otherwise their whole day was just to get up early in the morning and bathe and do puja, and then and the sandhya vandanam itself takes so much time and so many rituals they have to do. They don't even eat until the early midday. You're not even allowed to eat. You know, you can't drink water before doing their puja. It's a very, and then all day goes like this. No sleeping in the day, not like me. And all day it goes like this, and every day is like that. And they're engaged in activities for the good of others. They're by doing their yajnas, even in their house, doing the yajnas and chanting the names of Vishnu. They know this is for the good of others, for the good of the whole universe. That's why when the demons appear, big demons, they want to kill all the Brahmanas, because they think in this way, the beneficial effect that the world will get from them, that will be stopped. So Krishna wants to show respect to them. And they want to show respect to him. When he came to Mithila that time, he instructed that, was it to, I can't remember whether it was to Bahulashwar or Shrutadev, one of them was offering prayers to him, and Krishna said, you should respect all of these also. They're also great personalities. You don't think of them as any less in one sense, yes, but they're also great personalities. However, as the Bhagavatam establishes, persons who become fully Krishna conscious, they're even greater personalities. And we have here, in the case of Prishadra, cursed by his guru. That's really very, very heavy. Cursed to become a Shudra. But he's a great devotee. We find also that Yamaraj was not only cursed to become a Shudra, but he actually did take the role of a Shudra, although a devotee should never be thought of as a Shudra. Vaishnava jati buddhi, if we think like that. Naraki vai saha. Anyone who thinks, or who classifies, or thinks of a devotee in terms of their birth, or looks down on them because of their low birth, one who thinks like that is of hellish intelligence. But Vidur, Yamaraj took the opportunity to become Vidur, knowing that the pastimes, he could join the pastimes of Krishna. That's good. That's a more pleasing kind of devotional service than punishing all the sinful persons. And Yudhishthira addressed Vidur, famous verse, saying how great Vidur is. Anyone? Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabhu. What's the next line? Tirti Kuravanti. Tirtani Swantastena Gada Gadbrata. Gadabrita. Yeah, but I've got all of you here, so you can cover my forgetfulness. So he addressed him. You are, now naturally Yudhishthira had a loving relationship with Vidur as being his uncle. Although he might, if in such a situation, someone might not want to relate to their uncle because he's born of a maidservant. They may say, yeah, just, even though the father is a very great personality, actually, biologically, they have no connection, if we talk biologically. I don't know if that word was there at the time. You can say biology in Sanskrit. What's the word? Anuvidya? What do they say? Prani vidya? Something like that. Maybe there was a word at the time. It wouldn't be given as much importance as...
Sukshma.
Hmm? Sukshma. I was guessing anuvidya. That would be something like microbiology, something like that. We can look it up. Rasayana vidya they use for chemistry, and then what is it for physics? Can't remember.
Bhautika.
No, in the north it's something I can't remember now. I'll blame it on having not slept at night on the train. I have an excuse. Now you see, now I'm trying to remember. I can't think of Prashadra. So he could reject like that, but Yudhishthira saw in a completely transcendental way that people go to holy places to get purified, but you go to holy places and you purify the holy places by your very presence. You are a moving holy place because you carry the Lord in your heart. And of course everyone carries the Lord in their heart. Or rather, he carries them by being in their heart, to be more precise. But he especially manifests himself in the heart of the devotee who is aware that the Lord is there and who worships the Lord. He has most effect. He worships as a pure devotee. There are many people who worship the Lord, but they have different motives. Not everyone who worships is a pure devotee. But those who are in a relationship of love, then pranaya rasanaya, they bind up the Supreme Lord with the robes of their love. And prishadra, we don't find that exactly. We find that he, from the description of him, he follows the path of a normal, highly elevated sage in Vedic culture, inasmuch as he becomes detached from this world. I can read that. Peaceful in mind, established control over all his senses, unaffected by material conditions, pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord, being equal to everyone. He gave his full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, particularly as the Paramatma, as the Super Soul. Yeah, here it says, Atmanam, Atmanaha, Atmani, Atmanam. Yeah, there's the words. So, Atmanam, Atman, Yatmanam, Adhaya. Now, some people will say, that's not Krishna, that's Atma. He was absorbed in the Atma. There is a theory that the Bhagavatam is actually an Advaita work. that the real message is Advaita. But then we have to, and texts like this, they'll take like that. It's not that easy to conclude that it's an Advaita work when you have things like Aham eva asami eva agre nani adyat sada satparam paschadaham yade tachcha yoja pasishyeta sosmi aham. Great, I did it. It's not so easy when I'm existed in the past and after ever before there was sat and asat, before there was existence and non-existence, and I will exist even after all of that. But impersonalists are blessed by Dushta Sarasvati, the former Sarasvati, who helps them to be rascals and gives them the intelligence by which they can twist the meaning or misunderstand it. And they conclude that aham, that's the sagun brahma and all this kind of thing. But the Vaishnavas, of course, they don't accept that. That this, well, Madhva especially, he doesn't accept this idea of sagun brahma and nirgun brahma. What are you talking about? It's all rubbish. It's Brahma is Brahma. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's always distinct from the modes of material nature, and and that's right there in the Bhagavatam. Etadishnam ishasya prakritistopi tadgunai na yujyate sadatmastha. And then they go and say sadatma. As soon as they see the word atma, they think, that means impersonal. Why? Because they want to think like that. But it says there in the Bhagavatam, he's situated in himself. It really doesn't make sense, does it, this idea that we are actually all one with everything, and we perceive varieties, but they don't really exist. And that is due to avidya, says Shankara. How, what, why, or when this avidya arose, and what it is, and how it can produce variety in non-variety, you can't explain even with the imagination of an impersonalist. So they just come up with nirvachaniya. You can't say. We also say achintya about the Supreme Lord. That makes more sense, doesn't it? If we say that maya is in this, we can't explain, but we can explain maya. It comes from the Supreme Lord. Who is it? So instead of, well, actually, we're all one. What do you do when someone does that? When they say everything is all one, you kick them in the face with shoes, right? And that establishes that my foot is different from your face, and your face is hurting, and my face is not hurting. Don't worry, we're not going to do it. You're not an impersonalist. And we won't physically do it either. Maybe. We didn't get the chance yet. I was thinking, though, we should do something like that. We should have a live interview and then bring a bucket of very cold water mixed with cow urine and cow dung and pour it over their head. Before, I was thinking just pour a little kerosene and set the cloth on fire and said, don't worry, it's all one. Whether you're not really, if you burn, it's all the same, but you can just use that. And then you can tell, well, it doesn't matter. It's all one, it's all the same. I wonder how they'd react. You can only do it once, because then they'd probably put you in prison and other impersonalists wouldn't come to meet with you. But when Prabhupada said kick them in the face with boots, sometimes shoes, sometimes boots. It depends how angry you are, I guess. Or what you're wearing on your feet. But it's actually Prabhupada's making a philosophical point. It's not just some kind of nastiness. He's making a point that if you kick them in the face, they will feel pain, and they can say it's not real, but they damn well feel it. That's why it should be a good hard kick. If you say theoretically, well, what would happen if you go on fire or someone kicks you in the face with a boot? Then it's all theoretical, and they can say, well, it's still all one. But when you actually do it, then, so still everything's all one? Yes, and then kick them again. They might stubbornly stick to it until you knock them unconscious, like the scissors guy. He's drowning and showing scissors. They might. And again, it's probably better not to do that because people will misunderstand your motive is one. They won't understand the philosophical point and could be subject to a court case. It'd be interesting to see how the judge will react, because we say we're just making the point that it's not all one. I'm just giving him a practical demonstration of how his philosophy doesn't work. It depends whether the judge is a Mayavadi or a Vaishnava. Here in South India, they all used to be, right, previously? All the judges, they're mostly Brahmins by background, so they have to judge things like the dispute between the Varagalai and Tanagalai. What tilak should we put on the elephant when the Lord comes out? So sometime you're going to have Varagalai tilak, and another time you're going to have Tengalai. But the people who are putting the tilak, they're from the other group, they put the tilak on the back of the elephant when it's the other side. Then again, another court case. And it goes on. So anyway, if anyone curses you, just go back to Godhead. That's the best thing. The material world is just a big curse anyway, isn't it? Just go back to Godhead, that's all. Distribute some Bhagavatams before you go. And help others to go back to Godhead also. And if your husband is irritable, we can understand from this. Stick with him anyway. See, Arundhati is more famous than Vasishtha. Doesn't mean because she's in a female body she's less. Although socially there's a different role to play and an inferior role. In the previous chapter it was a description of King Sadyumna becomes a woman, and it's stated in the Bhagavatam that the ministers and citizens, on seeing his abominable condition, were as morose as he was, because you need a king in the state. It's very deplorable position for human society when there's no dharmic king. So they became very morose, because a woman can't be the king. She can't do the job. According to Shastra, she might be capable. We have in the history of India, in North India, the Rani of Jhansi, who after the death of her husband, she was as powerful in fighting and everything, and she only lost to the British because one of her ministers betrayed her. With the British promised, you help and then we'll make you the king afterward. Then they won, and then they killed that minister also, because they said, if you can't be faithful to your own queen, then you won't be faithful to us either. But the point I make here, that the queen was even capable of ruling, but still, Shrayan Swadharma Viguna Paradharma Bhayavaha, one should perform one's own duty according to one's position. At the present time, according to the position that one is occupying, at the present time, due to a lack of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to preach Krishna consciousness, when it's most needed because the whole structure of society is broken down. And there is no systematic preaching of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is not in the culture. as it used to be. The culture has become secularized. So it's very much needed to bring a new class of brahmanas, because the old class, some are doing it. Some are still trying to keep up the old culture as much as possible. But even if we follow the old culture, just like we'll find there are still gurukuls at Kanchi, for instance, Sri Rangam, Tirupati, there are still pathshalas for training boys in the Veda, but that won't be very effective in uplifting the society, because mostly people, they don't believe in the brahmanas anyway. How the brahmanas can help them, and the whole structure of society has changed. And for preaching Krishna consciousness, we've got not only the challenge of understanding Shastra, but also we have to be able to apply that in the modern world, where people have a very, very different outlook, and their ideas are changing all the time. Previously, there would be, for those who are being trained in polemics for preaching Krishna consciousness, they would be trained in Parshanda Mat also, in the atheistic theories. But the atheistic theories were pretty much set. You have the Bodha Mat, Jain Mat, Charvak Mat, and then you have the within the Shaddarshans, you have six which do not match with pure Vaishnavism. Some of them may match to some extent, but only the Uttar Mimamsa, as given by the Vaishnavas, even that is taken by, then that becomes another. The Uttar Mimamsa as expounded by Shankara and his followers. So, it's a lot. You to learn all of that. At least you have to know something of it if you're going to preach, like Ramanuja went and preached. And so, it's not a small thing to preach. When we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described at the beginning of the chapter describing his tour of South India when he's gone. He leaves Rai Ramananda, Vijayanagar, goes south of Godavari, and just he met so many people with so many ideas, and it wasn't only by chanting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness in South India. The ordinary people that take it, but he met so many pundits, and he broke all their ideas, all their theories. He broke them with the force of his own argument. But in the modern world, there are no fixed theories. They're changing all the time. If you study science at school, whatever you're studying is already out of date. And then if you come back 20 years later, you're really out of date. You can't even use the same stuff. Now, science, even history changes. Well, how can history change? But it does. The way they interpret it, and they have new information, just like, for instance, when I was at school, I learned that Sir Francis Drake was the great hero, the admiral of the English Navy, who defeated the Spanish Armada. And later on, the news came out. I was told when I visited England one time, just for example, that actually the history was deliberately misrepresented. There was a big storm. And because the Spanish boats were so big, they got blown. They had the big sails, and they got blown here and there, and like that. They said because the English ships were very small, they could get in between the big ships and shoot them all down, and this and that. So history changes, and where you learn history makes a difference. And it may be all misrepresented also. Just like now in England, people have come to know through the agency of Shashi Tharoor and others that the British rule in India was not benevolent as it had been portrayed previously, and that Churchill was not such a nice guy as he was previously thought. You may not have even heard the name of Churchill. It doesn't matter if you haven't. If you have, you might know what I'm talking about. But I'm just giving the point that there are all kinds of. Look at this at the present time. The devotees I came to know. Fortunately for myself, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter or any of these things. Where I came to know, there's a huge raging controversy within ISKCON, and you can say that at any time in the history of ISKCON after 1978. But the present controversy is to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated. That is the question. That is the raging controversy nowadays, and it's really heavy. Should you or shouldn't you? So, and then the devotees are spending their time. So I'm told they research this and that on the internet, and then different doctors say different things. And so I'm told in the last year, YouTube took down 30,000 videos, which are purport to show how coronavirus isn't as bad as they say it is, which I think pretty much a lot of people in India here, they pretty much understand that anyway, because life is pretty much going on as normal. You have to put a mask when you come in the train station, otherwise the police will come and take some bakshish from you for not fining you. They'll charge you 100 less than the fine. Or they might even fine you, because they probably have a quota, right? They have to fill up the quota for their boss who sits in the office, and he had to pay crore of rupees to get that post, and he has to get his money back, and things go on like that. So what was they saying? That, yeah, there's huge propaganda, coronavirus, it's not so bad, and then someone else is saying that the vaccine is actually meant for killing 2/3 of the population of the world. It's actually Although I wonder why the Indian government gives it to their military, first of all. You see, and now someone's going to send me some heavy email. Blah, 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 blah. And he goes, what point am I making? You don't know what the hell's going on about anything, practically. And in the midst of this, it's very hard to ascertain anything. In the midst of this, we have to preach Krishna consciousness. So then we have to establish the absolute truth. There are different ideas, different opinions. Brahma, Pramad, Vipra, Lipsa, Karana, Partav. Every person in this world is subject to the defects of making mistakes, being illusioned, having the cheating propensities and imperfect senses. So Bhagavatam is perfect. We accept that. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The appearance of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, is the answer. It defeats all ideas of, what's the term Prabhupada uses, imagined iconography or people, does God exist? God exists, but is God just some light or some idea? Or some all-pervading presence, and Krishna comes. You don't believe in me? Okay, I don't believe in you. Off with your head. Shishupal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 97, 98, 99. Finished. Do you know what I'm talking about? Krishna agreed. Okay. 99 times I'll forgive him insulting me, 100, if he does it 100 times, I'll kill him. And then he made it to 100. I guess Krishna wasn't counting like this, because parasya shakti vividhai vashuryate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. He doesn't have to keep a record, make a 1, 2, 3, 4, put a line, that's 5. He doesn't have to do all that kind of thing. Krishna is very happy. He very happily cut off the head of Shishupal. And Prishadra went back to Godhead. So, should you get vaccinated or not? Yes. Everyone should get vaccinated. What is the vaccine? Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare!
Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
If you want to pay someone to stick something in your veins, which has been made from bovine tissue, or it's cultivated in bovine tissue. You can do if you like. But whatever happens, chant Hare Krishna. Now that could be taken, well, okay, I'll do anything I like and chant Hare Krishna. No, no, no. We should lead a pure life. Don't kill cows. That's what Prashadra did, right? Accidentally, he killed a cow. And he got cursed. So lead a pure life. Satovrite. Lead a pure life as far as possible in this very contaminated age. We should lead a pure life and chant Hare Krishna and go to Krishna. And tomorrow is Gaur Purnima. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So let us chant happily the names of Gauranga. The world is a very, very bad place. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, or he's coming, and he made the whole world blessed by his presence. So we can remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his mercy, go back to Godhead. There are no vaccines in the spiritual world. Another reason to go. No vaccines, no coronavirus, no conspiracy. Actually, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories going on all the time among the gopis. But it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. The nice conspiracy theory. It all ends up in bliss. That's all. Whereas in this material world, everything going around us, which we can see, is bad enough, but they want to invent so many conspiracy theories to imagine that it's even worse than you thought. Not only is everything around us all bad, but we're also being invaded by lizards. Human-like lizards. Have you heard that one? Okay, you live on Lizard Loka and we'll go to Goloka. We'll chant Hare Krishna. Lizards are coming, tell them to chant Hare Krishna. UFOs are coming, the mothership is coming from Mu. Tell them all to chant Hare Krishna. Whatever you do, chant Hare Krishna, wherever you come from. Hare Krishna. So we can say Prashadra Ki Jai. We can also say Vashishta Ki Jai, even though Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says here he's Durmati. He can say. The rishis, they insult each other back and forth. They can say. We offer our respectful obeisances to them all. To Vyasadeva, to Srila Prabhupada, the Vyasadeva of the present day, and to all the devotees. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha adhitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya chunakam padeya nipatya kripa chakakushatametadaham bravimi he sadhava satala eva vihaya dorad gauranga chandra charane kuritana rana parivadata, you can go if you like. Parivadata jano yata tata va lanu mukharo na vayang vicharaya maha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Join us, Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki
jai!